And look what he says in chapter 3. Now, we spoke about sorcery a couple weeks ago and bewitching and what it was. And so I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now, how was he crucified among them? I mean, and he says it's evident that he was, and that he was set forth, crucified among you, and you have turned from it. Well, how in the world could Jesus Christ been crucified before? Through preaching. Do you realize that when I stand up here and I preach the cross and the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your mind's eyes you should see him going to that cross and being crucified for you, being buried, being raised again. I'm setting him forth, crucifying among you. And Paul preached the gospel to these people, and they got saved. And something happened. Look what he said, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Someone was trying to cast a spell over these Galatians. These people of they were casting a spell and had them blinded to the truth of the gospel. And that's what religion does. It casts a spell. The word bewitched there, and I looked it up, it means to mislead by an evil eye. It's to charm, fascinate, lead into evil doctrine. Now, I'm doing a study on evil at home, and I'm going through all the Bible about evil. And, folks, evil has to do with hurting people. It has to do with causing people pain, anguish, discouragement. That's evil. Slander is evil. Whoever these people are, they're leading these Galatians into evil doctrine. What was the doctrine that they're preaching to them? The doctrine was that they had to keep the law. That they could believe that Jesus Christ died for them, but they had to keep the law to be perfect. And Paul said that's evil. Any time that there takes away from the Lord Jesus Christ, any religion, any gospel, any other doctrine that takes away from what Christ did for you on that cross is an evil doctrine. For me to preach to people today that they must believe that Jesus died on a cross and be baptized or they cannot be saved, that's an evil doctrine. Even though I'm preaching the truth that Jesus Christ did die. And he did die for your sins. If I add the water rite of water baptism to it, and if you're not baptized, you can't be saved, then I'm become an evil man with evil doctrine. And I cast a spell. I bewitch people. And I might be able to charm them and cause them because of my ability to speak and on and on and be my diction would be perfect and all of that and charm people and they'd say, well, that's got to be right or Brian wouldn't have said it. Listen to me. It don't matter what I say. It's what this book says. I will lead you astray. I'm not perfect. I'm not the one to follow. You follow the Lord. How do I follow the Lord? I follow the Lord by rightly dividing this Bible. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And God's Son gave Paul a revelation and gave him the doctrine for you to live by. And the only way that men today in the body of Christ can follow the Lord and women is through the Apostle Paul. For instance, let me give you an example. Turn with me and look in the book of Matthew. Now, people say, well, I follow Jesus. Oh, is that right? Well, noticing, what does he say? In the book of Matthew, notice what he says in chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, now we're talking about following the Lord. We're talking about doctrine. We're talking about Abel. Now notice what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you, will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, is that the Bible? What if you don't forgive somebody if they wrong you? Will God forgive you? According to the passage, will he? Well, what happens to you if God doesn't forgive you? What's the wages of sin? If God don't forgive you, what's going to happen? You're going to end up in the second death. Hang on to Matthew. Turn over to Ephesians and look in Ephesians. So you have Matthew, you have Galatians, and now you're going to have, just turn a page down, it won't hurt. Now notice something about this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you according to that verse? Huh? For Christ's sake. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. And you be in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. At resurrection, having forgiven you how many trespasses? All. Look back in Ephesians. Well, you're there in Colossians. We'll just take that. Notice in verse. Let's see. I'll tell you what. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, he forgave us for Christ's sake, didn't he? Huh? Sure did. Notice what he says in verse 7, Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, he forgave you for Christ's sake through his blood. not because you forgave anybody of their trespasses. Whether I forgive you of your trespasses, that doesn't determine whether I get forgiveness. God forgave me for Christ's sake, in spite of me. But according to you, you have to forgive others. But that ain't all. Let's try another. Look in verse 19, Matthew 6:19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Y'all got a bank account? Got a savings account? Checking account? Thieves break through it? Thieves steal it? Come on, folks. You doing right by having a checking account, bank account? So I ain't got mine in the bank. I got mine stuffed in a mattress. Moths can get it. Oh, I got mine in a tin can buried in the backyard. Rust can get it. He's got you covered. You lay up treasures? Well, look what Paul says about it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about following Christ. Don't want to preach too much doctrine. We're talking about bewitching people. Who's bewitched? Religion's what's bewitching people. Look what he says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for who? Now he's talking about laying up something, don't he? And I will very gladly spend to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. Isn't that the usual way it is? Well, what parents lays up for the children? Well, Jesus said, lay not up. Now, come on, folks. You know that there's a contradiction right there. But thus don't give up yet. Turn over to, and look in chapter 6 again. Come down to verse 25. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And folks, I guarantee you took thought of what you was going to wear when you got up today. Except Alan. No, I just so does you. Every one of you did. You took thought of what you was going to eat. And probably what somebody's going to eat with. June takes thought for what she's going to eat and what I'm going to eat. Now, sometimes I won't eat stuff that she don't want me to eat. See, she's got this thing against carbohydrates. She don't like carbohydrates. She don't want me to have any. Well, I like carbohydrates. I love them. And we take thought. Y'all do. They don't. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. Well, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for your for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now they don't spin, they don't sow, they don't reap. That's work, isn't it? They just let God clothe them and feed them and take care of them. Right? That's what he said to do. He said, don't worry about all this stuff. Don't even take thought for it. God's going to supply your needs. He's going to take care of you. You don't even have to concern yourself. Well, get on with serving me. So let's don't go to work in the morning. Let's just go out and evangelize, and the Lord's going to supply all of our needs. Turn with me and look in Timothy. Try. Let's see something. You know, I want to read this verse too in chapter 1 Timothy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Now he said, O ye of little faith, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own. Well, I thought God was going to provide. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the what? The faith. And is worse than infidel. Then the faith of 1 Timothy 5:8 is not the same faith that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. Do y'all see that? They was just a quick work. They wasn't a work. They wasn't worrying about their food, worrying about their clothes. They was just to get on with the business of the Lord. They wasn't to go to no job. I mean, just forget about it, and the Lord will give you clothes and your food and supply your needs. Oh, ye of little faith if you didn't do it. Paul said, if you don't provide for your own, especially those of your own household, you denied the faith. Can't be the same. But that ain't all. Look in 2 Thessalonians. While you're there in Timothy, look in chapter 6. In chapter 6. Notice what he says in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Well, wait a minute. I've been reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't they the words that's in red? Y'all got a red letter edition? Well, them words, that's His words, isn't it? You know, the red letter edition's probably done more damage to people's minds than anything. You know the words that Paul's talking about in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, is not the red letter edition in your Bible. It's the words that was given to the Apostle Paul. He's the one. Look with me and look over in 2 Thessalonians. And notice, or turn back there in chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received from his denomination. Oh, that's not what he said, is it? From us. Why? Those are the words. That's the doctrine. That's how we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace, is through the writings and the revelation of the Lord through Paul. We don't follow Paul's life. We don't follow what he did in the book of Acts. He did things that we cannot do today. In Acts 16, he circumcised a young man named Timothy. He performed the vow, shaved his head, went into the temple, and done things that we don't do today, and we'd be wrong in doing today. But we don't follow his life. We follow his revelation that he got from the Lord. And it's the tradition, this wholesome word. But look down in verse 10, talking about working. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Now tell me something. One says they don't spin, reap, sow. Paul says if you don't work, shouldn't eat. If you don't provide for your own head of the house, you denied the faith. Can't you see there's a difference in the economy, the difference in doctrine? Don't let people bewitch you. Don't let them charm you out of believing the truth of this book. Stand for the truth of this book. Now, I want you to notice something about it. I want you to, first of all, go back to Galatians. Paul said, who hath bewitched you? People today don't want to follow the truth of this Bible. Notice in this thing about it, and the reason that they don't, they want the glory in people. They want the applause of people. They want the glory that people can bestow upon them. Notice in chapter 6 of Galatians, these same people that was bewitching them, that was evil men, that was causing them. Notice what he said in verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. And that's what religion does. It's just a show of the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. They want to boast in numbers. We had so many circumcised today. We're getting them circumcised. Well, you need to be circumcised. Why? So they can brag about it and glory in your flesh. Folks, that's what religion does today. They want to count heads. They want to see how many they got baptized. They don't talk about salvation. They talk about how many they joined the church, walked the aisle, how many they had baptized, and they glory in the people's flesh and their evil. I don't care if they're saved. They might be saved. They might have been saved. But they have been blinded and bewitched by and influenced and led astray by the doctrines of devils. And they don't rightly divide the word of truth. And I'm coming to the conclusion, the more I hear, the more I see, I'm wondering a lot of them's ever been saved to start with. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that anybody that's saved by the grace of God, somewhere, sometime, they're going to come across and to this truth of this book rightly divided, and they're either going to reject it or they're going to accept it. And if they reject it, light stops right there. And the only thing that they can preach, teach, and believe is doctrinal that come out of the denominational system that they're in, and you get away from that and they don't know it. Why? They don't have light from the Lord. They rejected the light that He tried to show them through right dividing the word of truth, and they don't want that, so the light's been cut off and they're in darkness right now. Their minds is blinded. You say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care whether you believe that or not. It's what this book says. Folks, this time, I mean, we're living in an evil world. We're living in a a time where Paul said evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. There's probably people that's in the body of Christ saved by the grace of God, and they're evil and don't even know that they're evil, and they're giving out evil doctrine and don't even know it's evil. Think it's good. We're in a mess. The only thing that's going to get it back is to get back with Paul. And people don't want that. You know what we should glory in? We should glory in verse 14. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." I don't hate people. I want to see the members of the body of Christ saved, but I hate religion. I despise religion. I grew up in a system. My mom, my dad went to that church and they supported that church and they got nothing in return. And that system took from them and took from them and took from them, and they didn't learn the Word of God rightly divided. They didn't learn what they had in Christ. They didn't realize the blessings that they had in Christ. Why? They didn't go to church to learn anything. They wasn't taught nothing. I don't blame them. I blame the sorry preachers that knows the truth or didn't know it and rejected it and wouldn't teach it to people. A man that loves his people will want to show them the truth of this Bible, even if it means it's going to cause him pain. Bewitching. Now what is this thing? Looking about it. Religion. Idolatry. Idolatry is a curse. Idolatry is cursed. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And that's what religion is. It's idolatry. Now, what is an idol? An idol, it has to do with something or someone that you think more of than you do the Lord Jesus Christ. You think more of your life, your job, your family, your house, your property, than you do the Lord Jesus Christ, then them's idols to you. Amen. The Lord is number one, or He ain't at all. And we don't have that spirit of martyrdom about the church anymore. There's no commitment to the Lord anymore. There's no addicting ourselves to the ministry of the Lord and putting Him first in the church, the body of Christ today, in the day that we're living in. Oh, how we need people that would commit unto the service of the Lord first and foremost. No commitment. Look at this thing about an idol, an idolatry. You read your Bible, you're going to find that that's the thing that stirred the Lord up more than anything else, is idolatry. He don't take second fiddle to nothing or nobody. And He'll leave you alone. So, well, I'm just going to go on my way. God just step back and say, okay, go ahead. I won't bother you. He won't bother you. But, oh, at the judgment seat of Christ, that's a different story. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 7, 25 is, the graven images of their God shall be burned with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be cursed, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. The idol is, or the silver or the gold is. You should detest anything form of idolatry. Look at this thing about it. Idolatry, go with me over to Galatians again. It's a work of the flesh. Idolatry. Notice what he says in verse there. Verse 20. He's talking about verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and what? They go hand in hand. Idolatry is what bewitches people. And it's like witchcraft. It's a work of the flesh. Covetousness is idolatry. Look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. And folks, that's what Paul's dealing with. He's dealing with religion. That's why I detest religion so. That's what's done all the damage. All the wars has been fought. It's fought over religion. The trouble we got now is religion. The country we live in is divided and in shambles because of religion. Where is the God of the Bible and serving Him? It's not here. They don't want nothing to do with Him. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want nothing about the God of this Bible. We pray, and I don't mean, I love America. I hate to see our country go down the road that she's going down. And it breaks my heart and I get upset. I get upset that the body of Christ is so weak in this country that one person can get prayer took out of the school. What's wrong in getting your kids together at a classroom and honoring the God of this Bible? Say, well, I don't believe in the God of this Bible. It offends me. Well, this is nation. It should be under God. And if you don't like it, you ought to get out of the nation. So, well, you just mean. No, I'm straight. Now shoot it gun barrel straight, and the world's used to this crookedness. And I'm not very political correct. I don't know how to be and wouldn't want to be. But I'm telling you this, the further we get away from this King James Bible, the further we get away from the Lord, the more we're deteriorating into sin, and the more we're going down the tubes, and the foundations of this country that made this country great is crumbling over, is crumbling all around us, and folks, it's cause of religion. I mean, there's a church on every corner. I read a thing. Or something that was said about the president of Iran told Bush he had a dream. And in his dream, all the White House and all the churches and all the mosques and all of the things of religion in this country was flying the banner of Islam. It's supposed to have been true. And Bush said he had a dream. He said, I also had a dream. And he said, in my dream, all of Iran was flying a banner of blue and white. And he said, well, what did the banner say? And Bush said, I don't know. I couldn't read Hebrew. You gotta think, get it. Well, folks, they want to destroy us. I've read the Quran. Their leader was a pedophile. Their leader was killed, ravished. He was a lunatic. Don't you understand? And we're the demons and the devils. We're headed for some hard times, folks, and the only thing that's going to get you is this book. This is what's going to keep your sanity. Idolatry. Colossians chapter, notice what he says in Colossians there in chapter 3. No, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And what? Covetousness. Which is what? Idolatry. Covetousness. Lusting, desiring. Covetousness is idolatry. Think more. What you love more than the Lord, you covet after that. Do you want the praise of men more than the praise of God? That's idolatry. You want people to think more of you than they and you want that praise more than the blessing of the Lord? That's idolatry. We work and we sow. But notice this thing. Look back in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is a curse. I think about what Balaam said. Balaam, you know Balaam. The Spirit of God came upon him, and the Lord was talking through this man. And he said, what God, how can I curse something that God hasn't cursed? Well, folks, I want to tell you something. You can't be cursed if you're in Christ. Idolatry's curse. Preaching a perverted gospel is cursing. Look in Galatians, where you turn back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Change it. Turn it to something else. Add something to it. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? accursed. As we said before, and so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And there, Paul said, they preach another Jesus, they preach another gospel, and they offer another spirit. And they're false apostles, false preachers. And they're across the nation today in religion. And they're bewitching people and charming people in the evil doctrines. And it's idolatry. They covet after the money that they get and the praise that they get. They covet after the power, and they preach a perverted gospel, trying to keep the law to gain God's favor is cursed. Look in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. If you try to keep the law and be good to be saved, God said you're cursed. Look what he said in Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's a quotation out of Deuteronomy 27:26. Look in James chapter 2. Just turn over there to the book of James. Go to Hebrews, you come to James chapter 2. Notice in verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. In James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You can't, if you break one of the law, you're guilty of them all. And if you don't continue in all of them, you're cursed. Look down in chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says in verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's found in Deuteronomy 21, in verses 22 and 23. Cursed. A curse. The law brings a curse. What is that curse? I can't keep it, and it condemns me to death. And if you're trying to get to heaven by keeping the law, the golden rule, you're under the curse. And you're cursed. We that are in Christ can never be cursed. Why? He was cursed for me. He did keep the law. He was born of a virgin. He lived the perfect life. He died in my place. He died my death. He took my curse. Don't you understand? God cursed His own Son in my behalf. And now I'm in Christ. Cursed. Religion can't offer you that. God has set before the people today a blessing and a curse. Deuteronomy 11:26, Moses asked them, the nation Israel, and I can ask you the same and make an application to you today. In Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, Moses said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. They had to do it. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. If they didn't do it, they got cursed. But I set before you today that's in this building, that's hearing this message, wherever it might be, a blessing and a curse. What is the blessing? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ, there's a blessing. In Christ, the blessing in Christ is eternal life. Notice in John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's a blessing, isn't it? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the curse. Look in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to close. Matthew chapter 25, what is the curse? It's death. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew 5:41. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye what? Cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Turn over to Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Notice in verse 14. Revelation 20, 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second what? Death. Look in chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters. Notice how the sorcerers and idolaters, they all go together. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which do you choose today? A blessing or a curse? Eternal life or eternal death? Religion, salvation. Don't let the world bewitch you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know how to be saved. Trust Him. There ain't nobody here that don't know how to be saved. Well, I'm not sure that whether or not I've ever been saved. Well, do it right now. You don't have to have nobody praying just as I am without one plea. You can be saved right now where you sit if you'll just believe on Him and trust Him and receive Him as your Savior. Do it now. And don't leave out of here lost. Don't take a chance of having another opportunity. People play with their soul and their eternal destiny like they do Russian roulette. They're spinning the chamber. You're hoping the bullet ain't in the chamber when you leave out of here and you have another opportunity. You're playing with your soul. What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How do you lose your soul? In the second death. Do it now. You'd be saved. If I had $100 bill and I walked right by everybody, had enough for everybody in this building, and I'd say, I got it. Will you receive it? And it's yours. I won't do this. Well, I guarantee you, there wouldn't be many who wouldn't. But if you never received it, it never would be yours. I set before you this day, life or death, a blessing or a curse. Which do you choose? So, preacher, I choose life. I trust Him as my Savior. I'm going to right now leave out of this building believing that He died for me, and I believe on You, Lord. I trust You. I trust You, Your death, that You died for my sins. And from this day forward, I'm trusting in that as my salvation. Right now, write the date down so you don't forget it. That's the day I trusted Jesus Christ. Walk out of here saying. Now you know something? I get accused not giving no invitation. Now I just gave a 10-minute invitation right here. So if somebody says I don't give an invitation, you say you're telling something's not right. Well, I just gave you one. Matter of fact, I give one every Sunday I preach. You can be saved. I just don't need you to come up here to count. Now, if you want to come up here, that's great. Man, there's nothing wrong with it. The Lord's not going to jump on you quicker up here than He will back there. I mean, He's not going to. He'll save you wherever. So, these crowds running around, I had a lady, and I hate. She said to me, bless her heart.